We are less than 150 days until the start of a new college football season. The 2015 season is on its way. But before we can get there, we have to finish spring football, and we are doing that right now as teams from the SEC. Some have already had their spring game, but we're looking at the weekend with the most spring games, and I'll run those down for you in a minute. But already completed, Vanderbilt has already completed its spring game. Arkansas is done with its, and also Ole Miss, Florida, Georgia, and South Carolina have all held their spring scrimmage, their main spring scrimmage, which is open to the public. Tomorrow, Saturday, Alabama, Auburn, LSU, Mississippi State, and Missouri will all hold their scrimmages. And then still to come next Saturday, Tennessee will hold theirs, and Kentucky and Texas A&M do not have a spring game. What's remarkable, and I'm going to bring in the college football professor, and we're going to talk about these spring football in the SEC and what to expect. What's remarkable about this, professor, is these spring games have been going on all over the country, and not a team has yet to lose one. And that is just an amazing stat.
That is great. I think tomorrow, though, you know, at least in Alabama and Auburn, they've petitioned a swim team to give them some help. They need some of the swimmers to come and help them to run through their spring game.
And that would be because the weather is taking on the climate of a Seattle or an England. It is extremely wet in central Alabama, and in fact, some people have already speculated that the games will be moved or postponed. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's interesting to see how the weather plays into this. Well, let's get right into it, and I think the biggest question coming into the SEC spring football, because Alabama's always the favorite and seems to be the last few years under Nick Saban, and so it's who's going to play quarterback for Alabama, and I think we'll start right there. We've heard some things about David Cornwell. Obviously, Jake Coker's there. He's a fifth-year senior, but man, it just doesn't seem like he's tying that job down.
Well, you know, Jacob, spring football is really a time for a lot of young players to establish themselves and develop. And the coaches knows the hole they've got to fill, like Alabama needs to have a quarterback. But the veterans, they simply kind of polish their craft. But you're talking about Alabama's quarterback situation. As you have just alluded, no one has really stepped forward, as far as we know. And it's interesting to me, Jacob, that a lot of comment has been made about the development of David Cornwell. But the way that came about is that Coach Saban was asked direct, how's David Cornwell doing? He said he's doing really well and began to talk. So everybody took that as saying that he's doing the best. That wasn't what he said. He was just simply answering a question.
But I do think it's interesting that when the rosters were released late this week, David Cornwell was starting for one team and Jacob Coker was starting for the other. So that could indicate that they are the top two at this point.
I think David Cornwell, the thing about him, he's played very little football. He's played very little in high school because of injury. Of course, he hadn't played any in college. But he's one of those guys that's got all the ingredients. He's got the he's got the talent, got everything, but he really hasn't had a lot of time to develop the on-the-field playing of a quarterback. So we'd have to say his ceiling's probably really, really high, and he's a big, strong guy with a strong arm, but we haven't seen him play in games yet.
Let's talk about some other points of interest for the Crimson Tide. Eight are going to miss the spring game because they are injured. That's not a good sign.
No, it's not, but most likely these are people – in most cases, who have a position, and they're probably going through the motions and running through different things, even though they're not able to practice fully. But the ones that hurt might be one or two players who is going to use spring to kind of move themselves up in the pecking order, so to speak.
Well, let's move on. Alabama, of course, wide receivers. They're looking for some more big playmakers, and I think it's interesting on the show that I produce. We've been talking about how Alabama is lacking explosive playmakers this year. You see Derrick Henry on offense, that is. You see Derrick Henry, but after Derrick Henry, where's that name that you're just bringing to the front of your mind? Like last year, they had Amari Cooper, several other wide receivers. This year, where is it? Could it be O.J. Howard, maybe?
Well, I think Adarius Stewart is one that's okay. Very, very explosive and looking for him to be outstanding. And Robert Foster's a big, strong, good receiver. I think he will really come into his own. And let's remember, there's one player that really has paid his dues, done well, he's performed well, he's a leader, and that's Chris Black. He's a small guy, very fast, But look for Chris Black to really do something special this year.
Let's talk about Auburn for a few minutes. Auburn, of course, coming in. They had a disappointing end of the season last year, and we all know about the defense and what they gave up. Will Muschamp comes in here this year and is going to try to create a new attitude with the Tigers on that side of the ball. And they have Jeremy Johnson at quarterback, seemingly taking the reins there. I guess my question to you is, can he fill that hole that Nick Marshall leaving last year, or will there be some drop-off? And then Muschamp's defense, what should they expect this year?
Well, the quarterback situation, they're in a, for them – Jeremy Johnson is he's got the job. It's his job, and from what we hear, he's actually a better passer than Marshall was, but he's not the runner that Marshall was. So maybe we'll see a little bit different offensive performance by Auburn. But with Will Muschamp anchoring down that defensive line and playing linebacker and defensive back. With Will Muschamp out on the field, they're going to really be good.
Yeah, you're right. And they still have some playmakers on offense. You look at Duke Williams, of course, coming back this year, 6'2", 225 pounds. And, of course, we talked before the show about Javon Robinson and the impact he will make. They will need that running back. They got Rock Thomas and several others back there, but they need Javon Robinson to kind of take the bulk of the load. So Auburn, a big year for them this year as they try to get things back on track. I think 8-5 is probably a little disappointing to Tiger fans. Well, let's talk about some schedules, and I think this is a very interesting topic to me. You brought up some interesting stats and so forth about schedules going into this year, so I'll just let you take this.
Well, you know, we hear a lot about teams playing what we might call soft opponents, cupcakes, whatever you want to call them. But, you know, if you look at, in comparing, you have to take into account their conference schedule as well as their non-conference schedule. Now, let's look, just for a moment, Jacob, let's look at Auburn, Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, and TCU, and do a comparison. For Alabama, they have what I'm going to call 9 A-level opponents. Wisconsin, outside the conference. Then they have Ole Miss, Georgia, Arkansas, A&M, Tennessee, LSU, Mississippi State, and Auburn. That's quite a haul for them to have. And then Auburn, they have 8 A-level games. Now, one of their conference games is Kentucky. I'm not putting them on the A level. That's why they only have 8. But if you look at it, they've got Louisville outside the conference. Then they got LSU, Mississippi State, Arkansas, Ole Miss, A&M, Georgia, and Alabama. That's quite a challenging schedule. Now, jumping over to the ACC, think about FSU. They have on their A level of opponents. They got Oklahoma State, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Louisville. And then couple of teams that might fluctuate between the A level, B level, I'm not sure, would be Miami and Georgia Tech and Florida. Normally, Florida would be a very, very difficult thing, but we know Florida is, we wouldn't put them on the A level right now. And then when you look at Ohio State, they have 3 teams on the A level. They got Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan. Then you could have just below the line would be Maryland, Rutgers, and Minnesota. And then think about TCU and the Big 12. Is it Big 12? Big 10 now. Big 12 has 10 teams, and so they play a round-robin schedule.
And the Big 10 has 14.
That's right. But they don't play a round-robin schedule. Big 12 – TCU, that's a lot of people are taunting them as being the team that's going to be up there. They have 6. They got Texas, Kansas State, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Baylor. So when you look at that, you have to compare not just non-conference, but the conference as well.
Well, several things jump out to me as I look at this schedule comparison. I think, first of all, it's telling me something loud and clear about Ohio State. I mean, you look at these opponents. Florida State's is not great. They have Oklahoma State, Clemson, Notre Dame, Louisville, as you mentioned. And then if you want to take down the next level, the B-level type opponent, they have Miami, Florida, Georgia Tech. Okay, that's not too bad. That's not great. Not an SEC schedule, but it's not too bad. But Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan, where, you know, those are your A-level opponents. And then your B-level opponents, Maryland, Rutgers, and Minnesota. that's not too strong. And, you know, I know they're defending national champions, and they deserve everything that they get this year. They'll be ranked very high. But you look at that schedule and you compare it to an Alabama, to an Auburn, where you got Wisconsin, Louisville in the mix, any SEC. Look at Florida. Florida, as you mentioned here, is playing Florida State. Georgia playing Clemson at the beginning of the year last year, and they played Georgia Tech. So SEC teams, in my opinion, have a much tougher road than the Buckeyes to get back there.
Well, and Jacob, a thing that a lot of people don't really take into consideration is that when you go through the gauntlet of an SEC schedule, you know, 8-9 A-level games, they come to the end of the year. A team that has not had but a few of those is much more prepared, is much healthier, is much, you know, just more capable of playing in that playoff because of the grind that they've been through. And so that's why it does have a great bearing on how the season's going to go and the end of the season.
Well, we will continue to look at these schedules as we proceed toward the season. Spring is pretty much done now. We have a couple more spring games after this week, but this is kind of the big weekend for SEC spring games. And the professor and I will be doing some interesting programs to preview the 2015 season. We're going to talk about some schedules. We're going to talk about some hypotheticals, what we might see this year. And, of course, we'll end up with our preview, you don't want to miss it, of each SEC team, kind of run through what we expect from them, and then the college football playoff predictions on that final show before the season gets started there in August. We'll tell you who we think will be playing for the college football playoff. And, you know, I think we need to go back in the archives and see how close we were last year. I think we might have had one or two, but it always something will jump out and surprise us, right?
I think first of all, we figured that Ohio State would go undefeated in the regular season, or at least not lose. You know, Michigan State was the one challenge. But at the end of the year, they were good, and they deserved what they got. But we didn't think they would be that good,
no.
I don't think.
No, I agree.
And I would also say, Jacob, that TCU probably was a lot better than we thought they would
be. And I think TCU could have competed in that playoff. I think they showed that when they obliterated Ole Miss in that Peach Bowl matchup there in the Big Six. So, you know, some places you might hear baseball standings broken down several different ways, but here on BunSports.com we're going to stick to what we really enjoy here, and that is college football. And we'll be giving you some previews as well as a number of other things over the next couple months. So keep it tuned right here. You can hear college football year-round. And, of course, I've got the college football professor sitting here with me to break it all down. And we'll be back next week with another program. So you're listening to BunSports.com. Hope everyone has a great weekend, and stay dry if you're heading out to a spring game. We will talk next week.